So, what is less? Why is it needed? Why is it typically misunderstood? Less is one of the most beautiful patterns for adding capability for multiple teams to work together on a product. It's a descaling framework, which means that you can try to simplify your organization. Instead of adding things to your organization, you're trying to take things away. You're essentially hitting the delete button, removing slowly some traditional practices and processes that might have been made a bit overcomplicated over time. Just to step back a little bit, though, the first rule of scaling is not to scale. So the best scenario for an agile team is to just get the best people, get them to focus on whatever problem you're trying to solve, and let them continue working on that problem that needs to be solved. However, if you have a situation where you must, and you feel you must have multiple teams, particularly when you've got three teams and above, you can struggle sometimes to get that to work well. On another episode, I talked about Nexus, the exoskeleton of Scrum, which is the Scrum.org pattern, a very simple pattern, which works very well for what I call layer of cake teams. Less is more designed for slice of cake teams. It is optimized for adaptiveness, for customer value, so that you can essentially respond more quickly to what's going on in the market. There's a bit of a contradiction for me with less, and that it's not less. Yes, but in terms of my understanding of it, and I might lose my badges for saying this. This is just my personal opinion. But there's a couple of ways of looking at less, and one of the ways of looking at it is it's a framework. You've got these events. You've got sprint planning, for example. Sprint planning is broken up into sprint planning one and sprint planning two, like Scrum from years ago when there were two separate parts for sprint planning. So in sprint planning one, you'd have representatives from each team working with the product owner to figure out what each team might be working on during that sprint. Then sprint planning part two, those representatives would go back to their teams and they would do detailed planning for their own team. So essentially, you're scaling sprint planning by separating planning one from planning two. You could have the entire constitution of the teams attending sprint planning one, but it tends to be the case that you'd have representatives from each team working with the product owner, probably supported by the scrum master, making sure that teams understand what work they're selecting this sprint, and the teams will then have their own individual planning. One of the things about sprint planning in less is that the sprint goal is de-emphasized. When you get multiple teams, even though Nexus, for example, has a Nexus sprint goal, less doesn't have that. There is some kind of almost impossible perfection vision we're all striving for, something that we're trying to achieve in terms of our capability, but the notion of product goal and sprint goal would not be so prominent in large-scale Scrum. Each team would have their own daily scrum. You could have people visiting each other's daily scrums. You could do that. You could do Scrum of Scrums, although it's not really recommended. If it's working for you, do it. If it's not, maybe consider doing something else. You can have people visiting teams as travelers, but that's a kind of a long-term change where maybe I decide I want to work in another team. I ask if I'd be welcome in that team, and maybe that team invites me in as well because they want some additional capability maybe that I offer. Midway through the sprint, the teams stop essentially and they do product backlog refinement. So they get a common understanding of what it is that we're building. They look ahead typically 2 to 3 sprints, I would say, to understand what's coming next. Then at the end of the sprint, just like you'd have in Scrum, you have your sprint review, you have your sprint retrospective, but we also have the overall retrospective, which is a really nice addition from less. So at the overall retrospective, you'd probably have representatives from each team with a scrum master or two and managers looking at some of the impediments, some of the issues, some of the things that are slowing the teams down. And you look together at maybe trying to understand those problems and seeing can you resolve them, because some issues are beyond the control of people in individual teams. So that's a really nice thing. And management is an optional role in less. And the expectation of managers is that they go to see really what's going on, to go and really see, they really understand what's going on with the work. So there's an encouragement for managers in a less adoption to be more technical. So they really understand what's going on. They can really contribute. They can roll up their sleeves in terms of trying to help resolve problems. Every team in less has the same sprint length on the same product, since it has the same sprint length. They start at the same time, they finish at the same time. So the idea is that if we are in planning, that we're all planning at the same time, we're all refining at the same time, we're doing review hopefully at the same time, retro at the same time. So when we need each other, we should be available because we've been doing our events at the same time. So that's kind of nice. There's lots of things that are expected in LESS. If it's a software or tech product, there's an expectation that you'd be following technical excellence, you would have a continuous integration behavior. You wouldn't just have your Jenkins installed or something like that and saying we have continuous integration. You really would have a behavior when the build is broken, you would try to fix it. You would pay close attention to architecture and design. There are some optional guides in terms of maybe having architecture or workshops and so on, documenting what's already been built. Often it's better to document what we've actually done than prescribe what might happen in the future. One of the things that I wish would be improved in LESS is some of the terminology. So the expression feature team is very prone to criticism because if misunderstood, and even the word, the way it's done, it's not considering experimentation. It's clear in the LESS video, the short video, that there's an expectation that for a tech team that you'd have UX professionals on the team. And so therefore there's an expectation, I'm sure, that we're supposed to be doing experiments because UX people, they don't just create UI widgets. They actually do research, they meet customers, they do interviews, they do prototypes. And some of that research could be presented at the sprint review alongside the increment where we show something that we built as a result of some of the evidence we already had before. We had good evidence that we should build this thing. So we went off and built it. So the expression feature team could be misunderstood as meaning feature factory, where we're just delivering stuff, delivering outputs. And that we're not focused on outcomes. And I don't think that's the case. I think in most LESS instances, you would have a situation where people are indeed focused on outcomes. We're looking for changes in customer behavior and we're really trying to improve things. The basic LESS instance is for up to 8 teams. That's not a hard number. It could be based on experience. It's really whenever the product owner's head hurts. In LESS, there's one product owner. Just like in Scrum, there's one product owner and Nexus, one product backlog. That means there's an expectation that the product owner is not writing product backlog items. They're probably explaining the direction of travel and probably introducing the developers on the Scrum team to the stakeholders so they can clarify what needs to be done in product backlog refinement and so that they can really understand what's needed. So really for me it's important that the team is trying to clarify the problems themselves with the stakeholders. The product owner should really be just connecting with the stakeholders, managing expectations, being clear on where we're going, and maybe aligning stakeholders and maybe what we've decided to do next in terms of sprint planning. The teams who will actually select the work that has been planning, even if the product owner has some kind of an idea in mind, the teams will decide based on what they can actually do. So it's easy to think that that's it, that LESS is a framework, you got your events, you got your optional management role, there's an expectation of a feature team. I prefer to use the expression slice of cake team so that we're not focused on features. Maybe we can go up with a better expression for that. But anytime I explain slice of cake team versus layer of cake team, people seem to get that pretty quickly. So it's easy to think that it's just really about that. But for me, LESS is really about the principles. So there are a number of principles underpinning it. There are lots of rules. And one of the rules, for example, is that you have a full-time Scrum Master. So Scrum Masters are full-time. They're not like part-time positions on teams. And I think that's fair because if a Scrum Master is part-time, it's much more likely that the Scrum Master would be exhibiting behaviors of the misunderstandings of a Scrum Master, like doing things like coordinating and doing dashboard reports and all this kind of stuff, instead of coaching, mentoring, teaching, leading the way in terms of technical practices and acting as a change agent, working with the organization and so on and so forth. And so when you're a full-time Scrum Master, you take the role more seriously. If it's a part-time role, and particularly if it's like pass the parcel or pass around the hot potato type role where people take turns in Scrum Master, it's much more likely that the Scrum Master role would be misunderstood. That is a big pity. In terms of the principles, I'll start with queuing theory. So the more items you start, the more context switching that you have, the more waiting time that you have. So try to focus on finishing work. Transparency is important, which means that we need to be comfortable with being honest about what's going on. The Scrum Masters need to work with the organization in terms of trying to improve that transparency. We're trying to achieve more with less. We're trying to not add things, we're trying to remove things to make things simpler, actually. So essentially, scrum masters and managers together are slowly trying to strip things away, but also trying to put things in place that would support agility. Like, for example, having HR processes that promote the idea of being multi-skilled, changing the way work gets financed, moving from a project mindset to a product mindset, where instead of having artificial constructs to get money to get some work done, where we're not thinking about the long term, because products don't have scope, we have long-term teams that we keep fresh, the Traveler concept that I mentioned earlier. There's a whole product focus. This is often a basic question that people struggle with. What is the product? I'll oversimplify here, but it's essentially something that the customers of the organization buy, they recognize, the end users will recognize what it is. So for example, a customer relationship management system within a company is a very useful platform to have to underpin the services that you're providing and products that you're providing to a customer. But they would be platforms, not products. The product would be what the customer would buy. Maybe they'd buy with money, or they might buy with data or some other ways. That's oversimplifying. So a lot of people get confused about that. So when we talk about products, we're talking about real products that external customers, that external end users use. A lot of people talk about internal products, and that's where it gets a bit weird for me. So I prefer to talk about platform teams internally that are servicing something going on external. Context matters, of course, but try to think of it from an external point of view. To that end, less is customer centric. A lot of people saying that they're customer centric, and the more often they say it, the more I realize that they're probably not customer centric, because they really are still focused on outputs, delivering product backlog items to Don, which is great, but we also need to check in. Did we make a difference? Did it work? All that kind of thing. Of course, you're not really agile unless you're continuously improving. I see so many teams implementing some kind of strategy or framework or method, and they don't actually improve after that. They do retrospectives and everything, but they don't improve because they come up with overwhelming changes they want to cover. In another episode, I talked about what's the smallest thing that you can change. So try to continuously improve towards perfection. And there's an almost impossible perfection vision that the people in the less instance would be striving towards. We would also be applying lean thinking, trying to eliminate non-value-add waste. Maybe there's some awkwardness about how our organization operates that really is making it more difficult for us to make progress. We use systems thinking, which means that we're not trying to optimize just within one team. We're trying to make sure that the team of teams and team of teams that we're working really well together as a unit. We really are helping the organization to be more adaptive, to really respond to market needs, and maybe even to anticipate and disrupt others in doing so. So systems thinking is really important. For that reason, we do not have a product owner per team. That is the biggest disease that has spread across the world. It results in a situation where people working on a $3,000 item can't afford to work on a $2,500 item, but there's another team working on a $3 item thinking about doing the $2 item, and they should really be helping the team on the higher value items. When you've got product owners per team, they tend to have the silo of the product backlog. Really want visibility. You would be switched to an imposer, but we would ask you to either become a developer or maybe to become a product owner, where you're helping right across all of the teams, because we want to make sure that we've got visibility of which teams have capacity to deliver value. Even though there might be some teams that might be not so good at doing a particular thing, if the key specialist team and the key value area is actually really struggling, they're really overwhelmed, some other teams can start learning. So I see a lot of less teams doing mobbing as well, where they swarm together and try to learn new skills, and that improves the flexibility of the teams. Less is based on empirical process control. So it means that we decide what to do next based on the evidence of what we did last. Evidence being important. It's not just looking at what was seen at the sprint review and listening to the feedback. It's also about looking at some of the analytics as well and understand what's really going on. So for me, less, yeah, it is a framework for descaling and for simplifying the organization design and helping you to really improve your adaptiveness as an organization. But it's also principle-based, and it's both really, because in one of the videos, they talk about the framework being based on principles and multiple concentric circles and so on. So it is both really, but I like to think of less being based on principles than on the framework itself. But there are rules, and you should look at those rules. And the rules are there because a lot of people try to misinterpret less, and the rules make it a bit clearer. I support that because in 2/3 of cases, people can't follow guidelines, according to Dr. Leandro Herrero, the guy who wrote Viral Change and Homo Emittens. 2/3 of us need rules. So I'm actually doing some of that myself at the moment, a client where I'm writing rules instead of guidance for people who don't know what to do. They need to see something a bit more concrete. So I do support the idea of rules, but as you become more agile, so to speak, and more responsive to what's going on, I'll be looking at what the principles are underlying less and then helping the organization to be more adaptive over time. It's a solid piece of work. It's underpinned by lots of theory, lots of case studies, real case studies that are really tested. It's very difficult to get a case study published on less.works. There's a big community there, and it's a really high-end community, very capable people debating in that community. If you get a less friendly scrum trainer or a less trainer, I think you're going to be in good hands. Also, there are people who don't have those badges yet, but they're members of that community. They really are high end. So I highly recommend that you look at people in that community as well, regardless of what you're doing. There's some really good principles from Less that would be applicable regardless. The key point I would say is try not to misunderstand feature team as feature factory. It's really about a multi-learning, multi-skill team that's customer-centric, working on a real product. Over time, you'll try to improve, try to expand the definition of the product. So the whole problem of portfolio management kind of goes away when you just expand the definition of your product. That presents a challenge in that your definition of done will also need to expand. There are some lovely techniques taught in the 3-day certified Less practitioner class that teach you how to expand your definition of done over time, one step at a time, would be the spoiler alert. So that is large-scale Scrum. Why is it needed? To simplify your descaling, simplify your scaling, simplify your approach, really be customer-centric, really be customer-focused. And you could be doing lots of discovery within that. I think the assumption from the video, if you do have UX designers and researchers on a team, that means that you're going to be doing lots of research and experiments. According to Marty Kagan, an excellent product manager in his parlance would be wrong 70% of the time. So a lot of these ideas would be wrong. So you can use discovery to discover which ideas are building up evidence that we should build. Then we build them, a definition of done in Scrum is our quality switch, if you like. So that's Less. Why is it needed? Simplification and to improve your adaptiveness and to improve your capability. Also, I would say just to improve your sanity. How is it typically misunderstood? People have the wrong understanding of what a product is, wrong understanding of what a feature team is. They use part-time Scrum Masters and they pick and choose what they do. Less is a hard decision, but it's a good decision. So I hope you give it a go. That's all I have for today. I want to thank you very much for tuning in. Over and out. Thank you.
Got a question for us? Leave a voice message at anchor.fm/dailyflow/message and we'll feature it as well as provide you with an answer.